Welcome back to the Cover Zero podcast, fresh off of the first week one of 2023, coming at y'all with our reaction show. Tonight, I'm your host, J-Rob, joined by fellow silver and black brethren, fresh off a week one victory. Jay, how are you, my man?
See, I'm feeling great, bro. You know what I'm saying? Now, we got our week one out the way. You know, our team won. It was a lot of good games that came on in the early slate. Not so much. Well, yeah, the late slate a little bit. You know, that last game was trash. You know, that last game was trash.
I felt bad for Daniel Jones, bro. Like, take this man out.
Take him out, bro. I don't know what that was. I don't know if that was some type of weird punishment. Like, you know what? Yeah. Nah, we ain't going out like this, man. We ain't throwing
you
no
cost us $45 million. You gonna get hit.
Something gonna happen. We're gonna get something out of this. Yeah, that was bad, bro. That was bad. But outside of that, man, really good week one games.
Right.
Squad won, you know, how can you not be excited?
You know? How can you not be excited? As our usual Sunday slate goes, it's mainly us reacting to the good and the bad, or the great and the things that maybe, I don't want to say maybe pissed you off, but you expected more from a certain squad. And we're going to start that off with our What's Going On segment right here.
Hello, Cover Zero. This is the NFL exec office. How can I help you today?
What is going on?
Jay, I want to swing this one to you first. Who's your What's Going On?
The Bengals offense, bro.
What is going on?
It's the Bengals offense for me. I mean, there's a few of them out there. Obviously, you're going to get to yours. But the Bengals, to me, for one, how good they are, how good they've been on offense and defense, but mainly on both. But for them to talk trash the way they did, those wide receivers, man, Jamar Chase especially, you know, calling them elves and stuff like that, you got to show up, bro. You got to show up. You can't let them. You know, you can't go in the game having that target on your back and then not show up, you know. And I say the whole offense because Joe Burrow didn't play that well. Joe Mixon didn't play well. You know, the offensive line didn't really do too much. So, to me, it's got to be that offense in general as a whole, you know. And shout out the Browns. You know, they pissed the Browns off. I think we thought it was going to be Browns was going to show up anyway. We talked
right,
about
yeah.
Sean Watson was going to be better this year. We talked about that whole team just being better. So, I mean, we knew they was going to come to play. But, mm-hmm. I mean, that lit a fire under them, man. And Myles Garrett, you know, he went off, bro. He went off and said, okay, we're going to see. We're going to see, mm-hmm. you know. And he had some things to say, and it showed, man. It showed on the field big time, you know. And then after the game, Jamar Chase still calling them, you know, elves and stuff like that, still, like, clowning. But at the end of the day, bro, you the joke. You know what I'm saying? You the joke.
Exactly, bro. So, you can talk all you want, but what did your game have to say today?
What did the game? Yeah, exactly, bro. What did the game have to say, bro? So that was bad. It was bad. So to me, that's unacceptable for a team mm-hmm. like the Bengals. We're expecting the Bengals to be in the playoffs. We're expecting them to go deep into the playoffs, you know. So for them to not show up at all on offense like that against a division rival at that, yeah, bro. Yeah, it's got to mm-hmm. be them. So what's going on?
What's going on, Cincy? I mean, that's a really good point. And I mean, it's The Browns were a team I had as a, like, dark horse AFC playoff contender candidate type, more than a contender, but, like, dark horse candidate.
Right.
And to be able to limit Jamar Chase to under 40 yards and Joe Burrow to under 100 through the air, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, that's very impressive. That's very impressive. I personally, I caught glimpses of this game here and there on the red zone, mm-hmm. so I didn't get to watch how much of it played out, but I do want to go back and see what they were doing over there on the defense, as far as, you know, a lot of the different things that the Browns defense was going to do with all the additions that they made. And obviously those brought home the money today, because a 24-3 victory over a lot of people's Super Bowl favorites. Granted, it's week one. So we here on the Cover Zero podcast, we don't take week one victory laps.
Right.
But when you come out like this, like you said, in week one, mm-hmm. talking all that mess, mm-hmm. this week, we got to ask what's going on when you put up that type of showing.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
My what's going on, I'm going to move over to the NFC, another interdivision battle. This one is between the Rams and the Seahawks. Seattle.
What is going on?
Today, the Rams go into Lumen Field in Seattle, where their season ended last year on just a very, very depressing note, just with everything that happened over there in LA after they had won the Super Bowl in 2021. And today, they roll in there and they get a victory 30-13 over the Seahawks. And I think the big thing with this one is when we were going into our NFC West preview, mm-hmm. Think about what our expectations were for both of these squads. I know mine, like, we both thought Seattle would be pretty good. Loved a lot of the moves that they made in the draft this year. Right. They already were a playoff team last season. Mm-hmm. And the Rams are basically now eating up, or supposed to be in that spot where they are eating, you know, eating the bad parts of the contracts that you have done and the lacks of high draft picks that you have had, and trying to piece together a roster. Right. Guys like Christian Roseboom, Michael Hoyt, Russ Yeast, Quentin Lake, Jonah Williams, not the Cincinnati Jonah Williams, LA D-tackle Jonah Williams, right, different dude. Right. Bobby Brown, not the Bobby Brown we know, but anyway, like, these are all dudes today that were out there making plays.
Right.
Puka Nacua. That is not a Teletubby character. Puka Nacua, fifth-round pick out of Boise State. He's had a dope-ass game. 10 grabs, 119 yards. This man was the 177th pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. Tutu Atwell, the lightest player in the entire NFL. Yeah. 6 grabs for 119 yards himself. Matt Stafford went 24 of 38 for 334 yards. DK, Tyler Lockett, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, a wide receiver trio that, of course, we still like. But, I mean, if you're going to be a wide receiver trio like that, and this is going to be your week one debut, these three combined for 70 yards on the afternoon.
Yeah.
70 yards. Seattle finished 2 of 9 on third down, right?
Yeah.
The total yardage disparity, Seattle had 180 total yards on the day. 180. The Rams have 426.
Yeah.
And this is without Cooper Kupp.
Yeah,
this he's is on IR. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I was going to bring up. Cooper Kupp didn't even play.
Right.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. I mean, it every time, like, I went back and the second half, I remember I checked in on it specifically, like, okay, this is kind of close.
Right.
This is kind of close, because when the first half dwindled down to an end, there was like about a point where there's like about 4 minutes and 40 seconds left in the game, and Seattle actually forces a stop on a 3rd and 7. So the Rams line up for a 57-yard field goal. Michael Jackson blocks the kick. The Seattle Seahawks player blocks the kick. They take over in Rams territory, looking to add to the lead that they already had at this point. They get one first down, line up for a 37-yard field goal and miss it. Don't even capitalize there. And I mean, I figured in the second half it would be better for them.
Right.
This Seattle team got outscored 20-3, right? Or no, excuse me, 23-0 in the second half.
Right.
They had three total yards of offense in a half. What is going on? What is going on, bro? I mean, I just can't. And when I finally, like, just was like, this is absolutely awful. It was 17-13. Seattle's still in the game somehow.
Right.
Four-point game. And the Rams line up 4th and goal, going to go for it. Right. They call a jet motion. 2-2 Atwell comes in motion. Stafford throws a pitch the opposite way. They pull Steve Avila. He looks huge on the field, by the way, because he is. Yeah. But they pull Steve Avila. The tackle down blocks. And then Tyler Higbee also shoots outside. So you got two lead blockers. Cam Akers jogs into the end zone, untouched. Like, what's going on, Seattle? I mean, it's week one. We're going to react, maybe overreact a little bit, not make any sweeping declarations, though. But you can't come out in week one like this. This is just, especially in a year where there is a chance, or a small window maybe, for you to be able to get back into the playoffs and maybe make some noise.
Yeah,
we got to change some things around, and I hope they figure out what's going on if they're going
to
do that.
Yeah, that's a good one, bro. That's a good one. I didn't get to see too much of that one because our Raider game was on. So I was watching a lot of that, so I didn't get a chance to really see it. But I did follow it and seen the score, and it just was, you know, it was crazy to me. Because like you said, again, kind of like the Bengals, you know, we're expecting this team out of the NFC to come in here and really make some noise like they did last year. You know, and Geno had a great year last year. You know, the whole offense, in general, was really, really good. You know, we talked about Pete Carroll and how he probably wasn't going to be, you know, there too much longer. You know, they got rid of Russ and all that. So I don't know. They did what the unexpected last year. So we're expecting them to be a lot better than what they showed today against a Rams team too. I mean, we're not expecting too much from the Rams. We just mentioned that Cooper Kupp didn't play. You know, Matthew Stafford, you brought up his numbers. It's not even like he lit up the scoreboard or anything like that. Like he didn't. He didn't really do too much, you know. So
yeah, he was moving the ball, but no touchdowns on the day for him.
Yeah.
Moving the ball, his completion percentage, you know, could have been a little bit better, but it was like the Rams O-line, I got to give them their props, man. They opened up some lanes for the run game, and they kept Matthew pretty clean and not under duress a lot of times. And so that offensive line looks solid today.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to agree. That's a good one.
Yep.
It's a good one, but it's a bad, it sucks for them.
Yeah. Time to right the ship because, yeah, we need to see more up there, Seattle. And speaking of seeing more or seeing good things, we're going to move over to our I See You segment where we're going to shine some light on those who deserve, who really caught our eyes, who really made us stand up and take notice.
What's up, player? I see you.
Jay, who is your first I See You?
I got the Bucks, bro. I got to go with the Bucks.
What's up, player? I see you.
So, you know, a lot of people is not really going to talk about them, obviously, you know, and probably for the rest of the season. You know, we're not expecting them to win too many games. But for them to do what they did, man, Todd Bowles, I mean, him just playing to win, you know, and he's a defensive guy going for it on, I think it was fourth down. He went for it on fourth down in the fourth quarter, which was a questionable call because they were on their own, I think 30 at that time, you know, and Baker Mayfield, you know, doing it with Baker Mayfield. It's not like Brady's playing over there. They're doing it with a quarterback that just got there. They're doing it with a quarterback that nobody really even care for anymore. So that in general, the offense, Todd Bowles really just playing to win. Baker mm-hmm. Mayfield played really, really well. I mean,
I saw the post route he had over the middle to Mike Evans, like put that in a perfect spot for him, scrambled to get a first and like took a pretty, looked like he was going to get laid out by Ivan Pace, the backer for the Vikes, but he picked up that first in the scramble.
Yeah, he did that, man. And they just played with a lot of energy, and I just didn't see that. You know, we talked about Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask, you know, in their practices, how they weren't able to hit their targets and, you know, shit like that. And but now,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? True. And here they are, they go against a good Vikings team, a pretty good Vikings, the Vikings team, a Kirk Cousins Vikings team. You know, we like Kirk Cousins on this pod. We talk about him a lot.
Bringing in Brian Flores to write the defense?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. That helped. Yeah, it helped big time, man. And I just like how tough they played on both sides of the ball. I really do, man. So that shout out to them. That's my first one.
Yeah, that's a good one to talk about. I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to Jordan Alexander with Taproom Sports Podcast. He was the one because he bets. Smartly, for the most part, he bets better than I do. I don't really bet, but anyway, like on the lines and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's like, nah, bruh, Bucks, because the Vikings went into this game 6-point favorites. Bucks were 6-point dogs in this one, and he's like, nah, bruh, Bucks gonna cover easily. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, because all the stuff we talked about before. So I was like, I don't really feel it, but they hadn't covered, went and won the game. Mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. Won the game. Justin Jefferson still had his 9 for 150 on the day. But beyond that, just couldn't get a lot going. The Bucks, they stayed true and just they had a nice game plan and went and executed.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a really good one and a big win for them in the South start the year. My first I see you, it's got to go to the Niners defense, bro.
What's up, player? I see you.
It's got to go to this Niners defense. That was a game I put on in the morning too that I really wanted to watch. It was one we previewed
going into
this weekend, and I had the Steelers actually winning this game. We talked about how the Niners don't always start off great. And we talked about also like kind of how the Steelers they finished the season last year 5-0. Everyone, they were the darlings of the preseason. Kenny Pickett looked damn near unstoppable. And then the season started today. And that all changed.
Right.
I mean, after 5 drives, Pickett had 5 completions on 9 attempts for 5 yards.
Yeah.
This Niners defense put it down. I mean, through 9 Steeler possessions, they had 1 scoring drive, and that came on the heels of Diamador Lenore having 2 penalties that awarded the Steelers offense first downs, unable to get in position to get their only points on the day, right? There was a play, it was early first quarter, it was 2nd and 4, mm-hmm. and the Steelers were in a 3-by-1 in a trip set to the right, like close to the camera if you're watching on TV. Right. And so you had Pickens outside at the 1, you had Deontay Johnson at the 2, and close to the line of scrimmage at the 3, you had Calvin Austin. And Matt Canada for the Steelers led the league in terms of jet sweeps last year. Mm-hmm. So as soon as Austin motions into the jet sweep area, you see Hufanga come down on the line of scrimmage right away. Mm-hmm. And they run the jet sweep away from him. Drake Jackson in the backfield, the second Calvin Austin touches the ball, he doesn't get the TFL, he misses, But what really stood out to me about that particular play, as soon as he barely missed him, there's already five other Niners in the backfield making a play. That defense was just super swarming. It was really dope to see. Another play, it was a third and five where the Steelers drew up like a switch release. So the outside receiver releases inside, that type of thing. Mm. They drew up a switch release corner route to Deontay Johnson. Pickett saw he had a one-on-one and tested Charvarius Ward. INT, going the other way. Going the other way. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a bad day at the office for Steeler fans. And I mean, there was a couple other plays throughout the day where for some reason Pickett got lazy, tried testing Warner over the middle of the field. They caught him running the pole, like running the seam in the middle, and they hit him with stick before they got a completion. So they come with stick and nod, which is like stick, then the tight end fakes and goes upfield. Warner sat on that thing just like, go ahead and do your little fake.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and do this. He tests him. Warner doesn't get the pick, tips it to Hufanga. There was another play. Warner like jumped the out route and should have had a pick six. He missed that one. I mean, this is just meat that was left on the bone, and they won 30-7. I mean, yeah, it was very impressive. One other thing just to point out, Drake Jackson had himself a nice showing today with three sacks. Niners had five total on Kenny Pickett today and only held the Steelers to 3.9 yards per play the whole game. Really, really dope showing by them. And I mean, the offense too, I'm not going to dig deep into them. So I just wanted to
say, the offense, that offense could have been one too, man, because the Steelers defense, we got a lot of respect for that Steelers defense. We talked about TJ Watt. We talked about him being healthy. He had three sacks on the day.
He was still TJ Watt.
He was still TJ Watt. You know, Cameron Hayward was playing. You know, I mean, they got Mika Fitzpatrick. Everybody was playing, but it didn't matter. It did not matter at all. That offense went off. And Christian McCaffrey was a big reason. You know, I mean, 152-some yards, what, two touchdowns. He balled out, bro. He balled out. So, yeah, the offense could be one, too. But the defense, for sure. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Steve Wilks, obviously, you know, we talked about him and how aggressive that this defense is probably going to be this year.
Sure.
You know, and it showed, it showed in week one. Showed in week one for sure.
Yeah, definitely did. Who's your other ICU? Who else do you want to draw some attention to?
So my other one is DeMario Davis, bro.
What's up, player? I see you.
You know, we talked about the Titans and the Saints. We talked about how we thought that was going to be a good game and lived up to the hype. It's just a couple plays that he did that was really impressive. You know, we talk about Derrick Henry. We talk about how he's always, you know, playing the way he played in the first quarter is the way he plays in the fourth quarter. You know, and he's just one of those tough dudes. He's hard to bring down. He's big. He's got a mean stiff arm, probably the best stiff arm in the league.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, DeMario Davis blew him up a couple times, bro. There was a time where he went for a block, you know, to try to help out Ryan Tannehill and just got thrown, bro. Like if he weighed 135 pounds. And DeMario Davis is big, but I'm just saying, this is coming in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? These defensive players is tired. Everybody's tired, you know. So for you to go head up, I've never seen it. I've never seen it done. So to me, that was crazy. And then it was literally probably like two plays after that. You know, they gave the ball to Derrick Henry to run it, and DeMario Davis blew that up, you know. And it was a good hard hit, you know. And that's another thing. Derrick Henry normally breaking tackles, not just with his stiff arm, just with his body in general, just, you know, just powering over people. So those were that was my other ICU from DeMario Davis, bro. Just two plays that really stood out big time, man.
What I love about DeMario is several things. I mean, one, that's a dude who really found his prime a lot later in his career than other NFL players do. So that shows he's a dude that like puts in the work, takes care of himself, you know, and just like sticks with it. That persistence right there really paying off for him.
Right.
He's found a perfect home over there in that Saints defense, how they play, how his style is. And that dude, like he has, like you were saying, he has in his bag, in his toolbox, the ability to be that physical and mean up front at the point of attack. But what I've always, where I first started to really catch on to DeMario and his impact for that defense, turn on the tape and you watch this guy lined up from a pressure look and turn and run down the seam and cover slot receivers, tight ends that have receiving skills and speed. And like just that's there for him. And that was really, really dope that he just has that in his bag. And it's hey, we've always been a fan of DeMario Davis here on the Cover Zero podcast. I mean, back in 2019, we did our top 10s. He was in there and still. Yeah.
He was in our top three, I believe.
Top three. I want to say, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, and still holding it down to this day. Still holding it down to this day.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a really solid one. Big DeMario Davis fan. My last I see you has to go to the Miami Dolphins offense.
What's up, player? I see you.
Yeah. Miami Dolphins offense today was everything that we remember that unit being at the peak of their powers last year. They were that today on Sunday. They were. Tua finishes 28 of 45 for 466 yards, three touchdowns on the day. They scrape by the Chargers by 2 points, winning 36 to 34. This game had a total of like seven lead changes and four that occurred all in the second half. Mm-hmm. Tua and Tyreek Hill just, it started early and it never stopped.
It never stopped, bro.
Bro, the first offensive play for Miami, right? It was an 18-yard gain. But what tripped me out about it, I was like, oh, let me go back and watch some of this, right? Dolphins just, you know, they get Tyreek Hill in the slot and they get Jaylen Waddle outside. Chargers come out in their usual two high shell, two high safeties, corner on the outside. They don't have an overhang defender in the slot over Tyreek. So this is letting you know it's probably quarters because the Chargers run a lot of quarters coverages. So what quarters is, for everybody listening, it's like basically man coverage with zone principles, right? You play the receiver however the route distributes. Number one on the outside, number two, number three, et cetera, right? So Alohi Gilman, the safety for the Chargers, however the route is going to distribute, if Tyreek don't run a certain way, that's his man. He knows this. He is 15, 16 yards away from Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Tyreek just, boop, little quick speed out, and 18 yards. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
When he kills, caught the, bro. It does, and it terrifies you.
Yeah, because he can catch, and he can run routes. He's not just a speedster that goes, you know, down the middle or down up the sidelines. He can run routes. That's the difference between Tyreek Hill and a lot of these other faster wide receivers or fast wide receivers.
Right. He adds the whole package right there, and then he adds it after the catch. He has twitch, speed, quick. He's got it all. And a lot of times where he was even like starting, he understands tempo as a route runner, a lot of those different things. And it just shows how tough it is or how much of a headache or how scary it would be to have to try to guard that man. Because that's the type of cushion he's getting. Another fast receiver we all know, they got Jaylen Waddle over there.
Yeah.
There was another play on that same drive. Dolphins come out and empty. Waddle's into the slot. They get him isolated up on a DB with no help on the inside. Quick slant. Tua throws a little 5-yarder. Waddle turns it into a 30-yard gain up the sideline. Mm-hmm. Running all the way across the field. I mean, it breaks games open with those two guys. And that's what it did here in this game. There was a play where Miami was in 12 personnel. So one running back, two tight ends. They got two tight ends on the left side of the field, and they got both the receivers on the right side of the field. I want to say this was very early. I think it was the Dolphins' first play in the second quarter. And Craycraft is the receiver on the outside, but he's split in tight in a condensed split. So he's close to the formation. Tyreek Hill is in the slot. And what looked really unique about this is that Tyreek Hill in the slot, Craycraft, only two receivers on the field. Both J.C. Jackson and Mike Davis were on that side of the field. You didn't have a corner on the other side of the field. Mm-hmm. They were both linebackers. So that lets you know this is man coverage. Dolphins see this too. Wow. So Tyreek motions out. Tua snaps it while Tyreek's in motion. Whoop. He runs up the field. You can see, I swear I could hear J.C. Jackson from my living room. Like, stay on top of him, stay on top of him, stay on top of him, right? I swear I could hear him. Right. He was fighting so hard to do it. And he actually did stay on top of him. But then about 12, 15 yards down the field, Tyreek Hill snaps this thing over the middle, runs a dig route on him. And when he caught the ball on the broadcast, you would not know this was man coverage because J.C. Jackson was nowhere to be found.
He was nowhere.
Like, I was like, oh, there's J.C. Jackson. He's like, Tyreek's on the numbers over here. J.C. Made, on the back side hash.
It was so bad it made you think he was running a different play. Like he was in his own.
Like people, how did he get that open?
He just
ran away from him.
And like, by the way, J.C. Jackson is solid. He's a good corner, bro. Last year he was hurt, but he proved to be a good corner in New England.
He got that big contract for a reason.
For a reason, man. We wanted him. Remember? Like, not just us. A lot of other teams wanted him, bro. So, he's one of them. He's one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what makes Tyreek Hill so special, too. My fault not to cut you
off. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
But his ability to do this against really good corners. You know what I'm, really good corners.
Really good corners, yeah.
Like, I mean, that's really impressive. He's not going against no weak-ass talent. He's doing it against everybody. It don't matter who he's going up against. It don't matter what team he's playing for. Whether it's KC or it's you know, Miami, you know. So, mm-hmm. so yeah, man, that was huge. Huge.
Yeah. He had himself a game. There was a couple other plays I only want to talk about. There was one, he got JC again on a nine route. This one, there wasn't even no, like, motion at the snap, make him have to go through traffic. No, this was just, he's lined up here, impressed, boom, peace, see ya, touchdown. Mm-hmm. Right. And the one, to me, there I saw probably some of Tua's best throws I've ever seen him make were today. And they were both in the fourth quarter when the Dolphins were trying to amount a comeback and did amount a comeback. Mm-hmm. One of them, Tua, like, just, they line up Khalil Mack, the Chargers line up Khalil Mack in like a wide nine, and he comes rushing in, twists inside. Tua steps up and sees him. And so Mack was on Tua's left side. Tua's a left-hand quarterback. And he had to, like, jump and torque his butt, like, just to get like away from Mack's reach.
Like a Patrick Mahomes type throw.
yeah. Like, this is not orthodox throwing motion, so you may not be on target. No. Hit Tyreek in stride downfield. And that also goes to the route. So if everybody listens, you go back and watch this play. Oh, it was like 3rd and 10, I want to say, is when it was, when they drew this one up. Yeah, 3rd and 10 with 3:43 left in the game. Or 3:43 left, yeah, in the game. And Tyreek's up top in the slot. When the ball is snapped, Tyreek doesn't, the first second and a half of the play, he doesn't even move. He's standing there, and he just is staring in the corner. And the corner's like, what's he going to do? Boom, gone. Right, peace.
Right. Right.
Got him on the deep route. So, I mean, just that type of tempo he can add there was really dope to see. And the throw that really ended up being the game-winning touchdown to Tyreek Hill. Chargers, or the Dolphins, ran a 4x1 after the snap. So, basically, you have four routes to this side of the field, mm-hmm. and Tyreek Hill by himself on the right. And as soon as Tua saw that, oh, this is where we're going.
Right, right.
And it was Mike Davis who had good positioning against Tyreek because it was in the red zone. So, the space shrinks, so you don't have as much room in the windows and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He saw that. He put it up there. The ball went like this over Mike Davis. It went right like this.
Perfect.
But because he had his back to it, he couldn't make a play on it, and it landed like Tyreek caught it right in his lap. I mean, if he'd have turned his face mask, he'd have hit the ball.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, just that type of I'm feeling myself. Yeah. Miami. You guys were there today on offense, and it was fun to watch.
That's going to be a fun offense to watch all year, bro. Last year it was fun, obviously, when Tua got hurt, you know, it was a little bit different. But if he could stay
healthy. It was scary to see.
Yeah, it was, bro. If he could stay healthy, man, this is going to be a fun team to really watch, bro. It's going to be a fun team to watch for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to go break down a lot of the film on, like, different stuff and, like, how many different 4x1s they can do. Because, I mean, when you got this type of speed, it's so much of, like, just because that dude's out there and Waddle's out there, you get so scared of what could happen that you almost start, like, psyching yourself out, you know, right. Like in basketball, psych out, you know, like whatever. So, but yeah, man, great first Sunday. I don't want to get too deep into them. Not a big ICU, but have to mention the Dallas Cowboys absolutely demolishing the Giants. I mean, that game was over instantly. It was never really in question.
Over instantly. As soon as it started, it was over.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is just one you just cut the tape up. If you're the Giants, you throw that tape in a Vitamix blender and dump it down the garbage disposal.
Yeah.
So, but hey, Dallas, that's a way to start. And this defense, I think it's the best defense Dak has had since he's been there. This was a great start.
And he got to prove it, bro. I mean, you see with this defense, he didn't even have a good game, really. He was okay.
Right.
Yeah, but he didn't turn. He didn't make no crucial mistakes or anything like that. But the defense is what really showed out. The defense was just everywhere, bro. I mean, Daniel Jones looked like the Daniel Jones of old. Like he looked like the Daniel Jones like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh yeah, this dude's a joke, man. You know, we laugh every time he get on the TV and we watch him play. That's how he looked today. So hopefully this, like you said, is just a bad game that can go ahead and tear the tape up, throw it away, whatever it is, and they get back to normal Giants football. Because last year, and again, this is another team where they looked really good last year under Brian Daboll, somebody that we like. You know, he actually coached Daniel Jones to his best season last year.
He did.
So you got to give him credit for that. So, yeah, man, that was a beatdown.
Also got a shout out Jordan Love on his debut, minus Christian Watson going into Chicago. Had a monster game from his running back, Aaron Jones, today. But Jordan Love, I mean, 3 touchdown passes, I want to say, on the day.
You know what? I had a, I had somebody text me, man. And you know, she's a fan of the show. And she was talking about, you know, go easy on the Packers. You know, I didn't even know I went that hard on them, you know. But I did say some things and whatnot. I just didn't believe it. I didn't know what we were going to get from Jordan Love. You know, and we got to see it today. And, I mean, it looked like they got a quarterback, bro. It looked like
they or
the Bears is really just that bad.
You know, we talked about their pass rush, and it was not there again today. The defense was not there again today.
Justin Fields wasn't there again today.
Throwing the ball, man. Like, he had some amazing plays where he was escaping pressure, right. You know, turning nothing into something, running the ball.
Right.
But from the pocket, we still waiting.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And long season.
You got the
weapons,
bro. Like, there's no excuse. You got the weapon.
Right.
You got the running back. You know,
I mean, his interception was horrible. It was horrible. He threw it right to Quay Walker. Yeah. I mean, like.
Right to him.
Oh. Yeah. We're still hoping for Fields. As we said on the last one, this is a pro Justin Fields podcast. You know, love what the kid can bring to the table. Come on, Justin. Go and learn from this and get better. But today, Jordan Love was the better quarterback on that field, bar none.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we talked about him, especially me. Nah, I didn't believe in him, but you know, that's because I didn't see nothing. I didn't see nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, okay, cool. But yeah. I want to see if he can continue it. I think he can. You know, that offense looked too elite today for him not to at least be a solid decent quarterback. He ain't gonna have no games. He's not gonna have a game like that every week in and week out. I don't think. Maybe you will. I don't know.
Right.
But, I think what we've seen today, we could say that they at least got their franchise quarterback.
Yeah, man. Yeah, looks solid, man. Happy week one, everybody. Appreciate y'all listening. This is just the first of a many throughout the rest of the season as far as the recaps go. But we have now previewed a slate. We have reacted to the slate. We're going to keep it going next week here on the Cover Zero podcast.